This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A Cincinnati law requires public taxi companies with more than 10 vehicles and at least one van to comply with the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. One local cab company says some parts of the law aren't exactly fair. And a new report suggests that disabled passengers in the region are having a harder time finding direct commutes via taxis. So let's talk about all these issues right now. We've got with us in the studio WCPO reporter Pat LaFleur. Pat, thank you for coming back in.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
We have on the phone from California right now former Cincinnati City Councilman Kevin Flynn. Kevin, thank you for taking some time.
Good morning, Michael.
We have the owner of Rand's Cab, Aynisha Basil. Aynisha, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And we have Access Paratransit Director Lisa Olick. Lisa, we appreciate you being with us as well.
It's a pleasure.
And you can join our conversation with your perspective at 513-419-7100. Email your questions or comments to talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Pat, I would like to start with you because it was your story that was sort of a catalyst for us to gather this group of people to discuss this issue. Your story was about a lack of direct commutes via taxi cab for passengers with disabilities. Can you tell us what you found?
Well, I would qualify that a little bit to say that it's more about the lack of direct commutes via however mode people choose,
including
to use.
Regular public transportation.
Right. So we could talk about taxi cabs and a shortage of vehicles that are equipped to accommodate folks who use motorized powered wheelchairs. Now, I make that distinction because folks using traditional wheelchairs, they might be able to stand up for a short period of time and move into a standard vehicle and then fold up the chair and put it in a standard trunk for a sedan. So that's a different kind of situation than what the story I worked on for today talks about. But we could also talk about Cincinnati Metro. Over the last 10 years, you know, we've been seeing service cuts by the Transit Authority. And so it's just getting more and more difficult for folks who can't just grab their keys, hop into a driver's seat and manage their own transportation. It's becoming more of a challenge for these folks to get door to door in a direct way.
Okay, so when we talk in a direct way, you did go out and talk to some people impacted by what they view as a shortage of opportunities. Give us some examples if you can.
Right. So a gentleman that I spoke to, his name is Robert Schumick. He lives in North Avondale. He's been a Metro user for almost his entire life. He's been living with a disability since he was born. He has a vision impairment. In his early 20s, he lost the use of his legs. And one example that he gave me that really stuck with me was that his mother lives in Blue Ash. And so going to visit his mother is a challenge for him because they're now, over the last 2 or 3 years or so, Metro has stopped running the line that used to run right past her house. So 5 years or so ago, he could hop on a Metro bus and ride up there, visit his mother, come back. Now that's not an option for him anymore. So that's the sort of situation we're talking about where Metro can't possibly go everywhere in the region, right? That's kind of an impossible ask for any sort of transit authority. But in Robert's situation, there was a very fundamental trip that he would take on a regular basis that he can't take anymore, simply using Metro in any case.
Former Cincinnati City Councilman Kevin Flynn is on the phone with us. He is at a conference, I believe, in California. Is that correct, Kevin?
That's correct. It's an independent living conference.
And Kevin, of course, well known around the city, became a quadriplegic back in 2002 after a car crash on Interstate 74. So, Kevin, you know the issues faced by people with disabilities well. You did talk to Pat LaFleur for this WCPO report. Why don't you share some personal perspective on this issue as it relates to people in a similar situation as yours here in Cincinnati?
One of the biggest problems for people with significant mobility impairments is transportation. Without good transportation, it's difficult to find good housing because you have to look for housing only along public routes, along fixed route systems. It's also difficult for employment. You can't get employed if you can't get to the job. And that's real life. Forget about, you know, play, enjoyment. You can't make a living, and so you end up on the public dole because you can't get to your work.
Kevin,
for me, I ended up having...
Oh, please go ahead.
I was lucky enough to have my own vehicle, which allows me to get to work.
But that's not obtainable for everyone, of course.
For most people, it's not obtainable.
So while you were on city council, Kevin, you talk also about the lack of accessible taxis, and this is also included in Pat LaFleur's reporting at WCPO. Can you talk a little bit about some of the work that you try to do as it relates to laws, both at the municipal level and the state level?
Yeah, the state had a crazy law that went back to the 1950s that said that if you need to use a wheelchair, you must use what they call an ambulette. And those are the non-medical emergency vehicles that look like ambulances. The cost for one ride on an ambulette is anywhere from $150 to $250 one way. So you've got people that are going to physical therapy, to a doctor's office, that may be on Medicaid. Medicaid is paying for an ambulette to take them to a regular doctor's appointment or a regular therapist's appointment. It's crazy. There's no need for it because all they're doing is transporting an otherwise healthy person that happens to be in a power wheelchair.
I want to note that former Councilman Flynn in Pat LaFleur's reporting at WCPO, this is a direct quote from the reporting. In 2016, Flynn chose not to hire an office staffer in order to redirect those dollars into a fund providing $55,000 in grant money for cab companies to equip their vehicles for people in wheelchairs. Could you help us understand the idea behind that move?
Well, it was kind of the carrot. I mean, the law has always been, since 1990, since the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990 and the regulations implementing those, that if a provider of taxi services purchases or leases a vehicle other than an automobile, the vehicle is required to be accessible. That's the law. Unfortunately, there's no one to enforce the law. It's up to the U.S. Department of Justice to enforce this civil rights law, and that's what it is, a civil rights law. But there's there's not enough people at the Department of Justice to do that work. So I thought it would be better to incentivize the taxi cab companies to do what they're required to do. And so I came up with this idea of a grant program. But we had a first change to state law that I mentioned, which took until after I was off council, it took until 2018 to push forward with the help of some local legislators, Kathy Ingram and Bill Seitz. It passed the law unanimously eventually, but it took a couple of years to get it done.
Okay, so I want to get some perspective from the operator of a cab company who happens to be with us. We have Aynisha Basil. She's the owner of Rand's Cab. So we've heard some issues expressed as reported by Pat LaFleur at WCPO, also by former city councilman Kevin Flynn, who's on the line with us. But Aynisha, this doesn't sound so simple from your perspective, right?
That's correct.
So tell us about what your operation is like as it relates to improving access to disabled people and what you would have to do in order to comply with the law.
I mean, the original ordinance was, it was $5,500 either often per vehicle. But the conversion cost of one van is about $13,000.
Did you already have a van in your fleet?
Yes, we had two vans.
Vans that were handicapped accessible or not?
No, they were just vans.
Just vans for extra passengers.
Correct.
Okay, and you were looking at possibly converting them to be able to service passengers with disabilities.
Correct.
Okay, and say the price again.
It was $13,000 conversion per vehicle.
And you would have been eligible to have $5,500 of that granted from the city?
Correct.
So that would bring you down to around $7,500 in total costs out of your pocket?
Correct. Not including the insurance, and you had to take a first aid class, and the rates just weren't good for us.
Did you deem that that was too expensive?
Yes, it is very expensive for us, because they want us to do this at the same rate as a taxi, which is $3.75 to start, and around $2 per mile.
You're talking $3.75 to start, and then that additional fee as the car, as the trip goes.
Correct.
Okay, so what are companies like yours doing? I know that there's not as many of you as there used to be around here. You're facing a lot of additional challenges, but there's a certain number of vehicles that you have to have in order to be mandated to comply. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so are you under that number currently?
Yes, okay. We are now currently under.
Because if you had 10 vehicles and a van, you would then have to comply?
Correct.
Okay, so how many vehicles do you have?
We had a total of over 40 licenses. We went down to only 9 due to the ordinance.
So what happened to the rest?
They're just not driving. You know, we put a lot of people are out of business. Some went to Uber, some just not working.
And we have on the phone line Councilman, former Cincinnati City Councilman Kevin Flynn, who joins us from California this morning, where he is attending an independent living conference. Councilman, when you hear this concern expressed by a Cincinnati business owner like Aynisha Basil, the owner of Rand's Cab, what are your thoughts?
I want to know where those other 30 vehicles are that are sitting empty because they went away.
Can you answer that, Aynisha?
I mean, I'm not for sure where all of them went.
Maybe for our listeners.
Aren't they your vehicles?
No, those are owner-operator vehicles. So they actually own their vehicles. And some of them are just using our colors. We give them permission to use our colors.
It's sort of like a franchise in a sense that you get the branding of the overarching company, but you operate your own hours.
Correct.
And own the vehicle.
Correct.
Okay. I also want to bring in Lisa Olick. She is the...
Michael, if I could mention one other thing that's gotten lost here.
Sure, please.
The city is not the only one incentivizing the conversion of these vehicles. The IRS code section 44 gives a tax credit of up to $5,000 for accessibility. And there's also an IRS federal tax deduction of up to $15,000. So you can multiply these things on top of one another to get to the point where, one, it's not costing you any money for the conversion. Two, you've got a captive audience that will be more than willing to take that. The fact that taxi cab owners want to charge people that need wheelchairs more is quite frankly offensive.
Okay, Aynisha, I want to let you
and illegal.
I want to let you respond to both of those things. One, on the additional tax credits were available, but first let's talk about the fares for disabled passengers. Are the fares higher?
Well, right now we're a taxi, so we're going at $3.75, like I said, to start.
Across the board for
right.
Everyone.
Even we were going to work with Omni, and they were going to pick up, you know, the handicap.
So Omni, another service provider, you would have contracted with them?
Correct.
Okay. Now, about the tax credits that were possibly available to you, was that something that you were aware of?
No.
So it might be something that you could look into down the road?
Correct.
I also believe that when we spoke to you before this segment, that you also saw some issues with accessing the city incentives if you were to use a financing mechanism to acquire the changes. Can you help us understand that?
That is correct. Well, basically, in order for us to apply for this grant, we would have to have spent cash. And if you look on the market, the lowest I've seen is $25,000.
For a new van?
Correct. We have to spend at least $20,000 to even apply for the grant. So that would mean we can't finance. We would have to pay that out of pocket.
And that's not something that your company is capable of doing currently?
We would have to spend about $80,000 to get two, because we need two.
Okay.
So we would have to spend $80,000 out of pocket before we can even see a grant money.
We're going to come back to the cab discussion. Before we take our first break, I do want to note that we still have Lisa Olick with us, the Access Paratransit Director. You've also had some concerns about the way passengers with disabilities are able to get around in this community. Can you talk a little bit about how your organization addresses that?
Sure. So transportation for people with disabilities has been a problem for many years in our community. And, you know, while Metro can offer a reduced fare for people with disabilities on regular Metro service, for those people who just simply can't use Metro and rely on another means of transportation, such as Access, there really aren't any other lift-equipped services in town. So, you know, it's kind of like everyone is dependent on Access, and we, as good as we could be, we just simply can't meet everyone's needs. And for Access, even, it can be cost prohibitive for people. It's $350 each way in Zone 1 and $450 each way in Zone 2. And for someone going to dialysis every 3 days, 3 days a week, that's $27 for people going to dialysis outside of the city limits. And on top of that, you know, Access doesn't allow for spontaneity. So when you want to go somewhere today, you can't do that on Access. You need to have a reservation. And this taxi provision would be so helpful and beneficial in our city, just so that we can allow for greater independence and more opportunity to get to healthcare and to better access to housing and to jobs, which I think, as Kevin mentioned, is just very limited right now.
I do want to talk about the way other transportation organizations are impacted by this, like Uber, and we do have a statement from them that we want to share coming up. We're going to take a quick break and continue this and wrap this conversation up in just a moment. A little bit later, we'll be talking about the new book that explores the rise of millennial politicians like Pete Buttigieg, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Elise Stefanik. The author is a Time Magazine national correspondent. She joins us. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We'll start to wrap up our conversation about transportation accessibility, particularly as it relates to taxi cabs in the city of Cincinnati. We are joined in the studio by WCPO reporter Pat LaFleur. We have the owner of Rand's Cab, Aynisha Basil. We have the Access Paratransit Director, Lisa Olick, all in the studio with us. And on the phone from California is former Cincinnati City Councilman Kevin Flynn. Aynisha, we were talking during the break about something that we did discuss prior to the segment beginning, but you reiterated here. It's that you're the only company that is impacted by this suggestion or mandate that you comply with the ADA.
That is correct.
Where are all the other companies?
Everybody else is not as many cabs. Some people have one. A few companies have maybe five or six.
And this has all kind of happened over the past how many years that the cab companies have shrunk the way that they have?
Since Uber came in, a lot of companies did take a hit.
And we want to note that Uber, Lyft, these companies are not subjected to the same regulations as it relates to the ADA as you are?
That's correct.
Even though that there are so many more vehicles out there operating as Uber and Lyft. Let me ask former Councilman Kevin Flynn your thoughts on that. Is that fair that the taxi cab companies owned by local operators are impacted by this legislation that Uber and Lyft are not?
It's not fair. If we could regulate Uber and Lyft at the local level, we would. In fact, we had started to do so when they first came in. And the state legislature preempted us and said, you can't, it can only be regulated at the state level. However, I will say Uber, Lyft, and even the companies with one or two minivans operating as taxis are all subject to the same law. The threshold of 10 was an artificial threshold that was put in by the city of Cincinnati. It does not affect obligations under federal law. And in fact, Uber and Lyft have been sued in a number of cities across the country to require them to provide wheelchair accessible vehicles. And they've lost those suits, and they are providing those vehicles in other cities. Actually, this would be an advantage for the taxi cab company because it until Uber and Lyft get wheelchair accessible vehicles, you've got a captive audience for the taxi cab company. Instead of taxi cabs going away because of Uber and Lyft, you would actually have a new market for the taxi cabs.
So we reached out to Uber for some comment here, and we learned that in the city of Boston, for example, Uber specifically, that company alone, partnered with the MBTA on an on-demand transit pilot program for paratransit customers. We received a statement from the company that we requested this morning. Spokesperson Alex Anfing told us, quote, "We are eager to partner with local cities to increase their paratransit services." And in our final couple of minutes that we have together, I want to bring Pat LaFleur, the reporter from WCPO, back into our conversation. Did you hear from any passengers who have disabilities on their perspective as it relates to ride shares?
You know, when I spoke with Robert, the gentleman I mentioned earlier, he did bring up Uber and Lyft, but it was very briefly, and he brought them up to make a very similar point to what Mr. Flynn just mentioned, how the rideshare traditionally has not been an option for him, at least in this market here in Cincinnati. And I think the reason that mention in our conversation was so brief was exactly for that reason, that he's never really considered Uber and Lyft or other rideshare services as an option for him, partially because it's been so long that he's been adapting his lifestyle to use Metro. That thought doesn't really even cross his mind as an option.
Okay, we've got to wrap this up. And for our other three guests here, I want to give you all each a chance to say two or three sentences about how we think overall this could be improved. We'll start with you, Lisa Olick from Access.
I think if we were to be able to bring Lyft-equipped taxis into the city, it would open up a lot of doors for people. Right now, there are pockets of our city that Metro doesn't serve. Our hopes with our Reinventing Metro plan that we would be able to expand some service. And with that would also mean some expansion of access service to be able to get into those pockets that are underserved right now. So I'm talking like the Sharonville, Tri-County areas on the northern part of the border and then on the eastern and western sides.
Okay, Anisha, we'll give you a word here very quickly.
Okay, I mean, if they can improve this ordinance to where we're able to finance the vehicles and still qualify for the grant, that would help us a lot.
Okay, and Kevin, 15 seconds, last word.
I think that can be done. If you want to finance the vehicles, that's fine. I will put a word out that we're going to expect all taxi cabs that are minivans to be accessible, or that we're going to be in for a fight.
Well, that sounds like a conversation that can be taken offline, and I hope that you all are able to work that out. My thanks to Kevin Flynn, Pat LaFleur, Anisha Basil, and Lisa Olick, all of you for joining us for a conversation that we will probably have to revisit sometime soon. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is... Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.